Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Have you had that, Slee, where you're very grateful to get something like our pickleball award?
Yes.
And it makes you feel good?
Yes.
And it's something that was unexpected because I did not even know that there was an award for the best 7-10 team. Didn't know it until they handed us the trophy.
I paid for it.
And simultaneously, like, well, that had to be easy for those guys. Like, that probably was. There probably wasn't even a meeting, right? It's just like, they're giving this Travis Slee, right? Yep, okay. Walk them on in.
I'm still waiting for Amanda to walk in at some point and be like, hey, guys, just so you know, you don't take that home. It stays here.
No, that's not right.
Hand it to the next show.
There's nobody else that was any good. We were the only ones that were good.
We're basically, I mean, in the promo that I recorded yesterday.
You really don't like to talk, you know what, do you?
In the promo.
Stick it in, Sleeves.
We
never win anything.
In the promo that I recorded yesterday, I said that we're basically going to be in tournaments across the country.
I heard it, yeah. But I don't care about that. I want to be the best ones in here.
But we were.
I know, clearly.
Kirk and DeMarco were honestly a disappointment.
It was Kirk. Kirk didn't carry his weight. DeMarco was ready to go. DeMarco had put in some time. DeMarco had worked on some shots.
You think DeMarco was incredibly disappointed that Kirk didn't bring...
I'm not going to speak for DeMarco, but I would imagine that DeMarco was expecting more and didn't get it. But I don't know. We got exactly what we... You were better than I thought. I knew you'd be pretty good because you'd been playing, but you covered a lot of court.
It's ping pong.
My competitive juices got going a little
bit. They woke up a little.
A little bit. I was... When we blew our big lead in our opening match, and I couldn't swear to it, but I think we were heading 9-4 or 5. I think it was something like that. And I do think there was an element of Los Diablos carrying us a little bit. Like, let's see where they are. And I think we surprised them by this much. Like, hey, these guys don't stink. And then they started to try because after that, it was fairly non-competitive. But we hung. We hung around.
The only, you don't know how bad I just wanted to win that game and just say easy money on the mic.
I know.
Just wanted to say easy money.
You know what else
time.
Sucked? They were nice guys.
Yeah, they were. they came out. They're talking. You guys, I think we're talking some golf. And
yeah, one of the guys had a band in pullover. I'm like, band? I'm like
Trav,
that.
Don't talk to them, bro.
I can't help it. I'm like you with 3 Michelob Ultras. I'm a chatterbox. You got going. You're like, sip, shot, point. Sip, shot, point. You should be, you're like the John Daly of pickleball. You're just out there just knocking down shots.
Okay, the worst part about that is when you drink, when you do play golf. I don't know how you are when you drink, but for me, if I'm playing golf and I'm drinking, all of a sudden it's like, wow, I'm hitting some really good shots. And then the moment I start actually thinking like, okay, I think I got this down, I can't hit the ball if my life depended on it. The ultras aren't helping after that.
It didn't hurt you in pickleball.
No, it didn't
I can
hurt.
Tell you that. You were hitting the sweet spot of the pickleball paddle. We should develop like a shrine in here, put our trophies in there so everybody else has to look at them every single day. Just build like a bookcase.
I didn't want it in the studio. I wanted the front entrance in the lobby.
Like the Lakers where they have their trophies on display. Right? We'll put on it'll only have 2 things in it, but we can feel pretty good about it. Lakers split their games on the weekend. An incredibly disappointing finish in the Dallas game where it felt like they had it in their back pocket. They didn't. A bad foul, a non-closeout, some missed free throws, and all of a sudden they lose to Dallas. Then last night against Orlando, Austin Reeves was amazing. He has a 35-point night, a career high for him, and they needed every last one of them to beat an Orlando Magic team that's mediocre, shall we say. Probably slightly less than mediocre.
15 games below 500, something like that. Yeah. So that's they won't be in the tournament or anything along those lines. Let me throw out one thing your way, because I think the best way to put it, the last week for Lakers basketball has been very disappointing, period. There was a point where after the trade deadline, the Lakers were 9-4. And they're winning some games, and I think people were really excited about the fit of some of these players. The Lakers didn't go out and get stars during the trade deadline, but you thought they got players that fit. And that was the biggest thing that didn't happen prior to the trade deadline. Russ never fit.
No.
Pat Bev didn't seem like he fit. The players that they had just didn't seem – it just wasn't a good mix. So they go 9-4. And I think we're all starting to feel really, really good about, hey, I think the Lakers, with what's happening in the Western Conference, none of these other teams are running away with it. Maybe Bron's going to come back as you get closer to the end of the season. And then the last week, it's whether it's the loss to the Knicks or the second half against the Pelicans or the loss to the Rockets or the mistakes that they made against the Dallas Mavericks and barely beating the Orlando Magic.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about throwing some kind of cold water on what was some momentum. Trav, I'm not saying they were going to go win a championship. I'm just saying that they were playing good enough basketball where you could see light at the end of the tunnel.
Well, what changed was it went from, are they going to get into, yeah, they're going to get in, where are they going to land? To now we're back to, are they going to get in? Right? You tell me. To me, I went from, yeah, I think they'll get in, but I'm not entirely sure, to, oh, look, they're going to be in. To your point, they went 9-4, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, they're going to clip some of these teams and they're going to settle in somewhere between 6 and 7 or 8. They're in.
Yeah.
And now it's like, I don't know, man. They got 10 games left and they're in by the skin of their teeth.
Well, and you also have no idea. Is it safe to say they got the Suns coming up on Wednesday? If they lost against the Suns by 8, are you surprised?
No.
If they beat the Suns by 4, are you surprised?
No.
That's the problem, right? We're kind of not sure what you're going to get every single night. A lot of that having to do with, what are you going to get from Anthony Davis every night?
More than a lot. I would say it's 90% of it.
Last night, Austin Reeves gave you 35, and if he had 30, they lose the game.
Mm-hmm.
Austin Reeves needed to give you 35. Austin Reeves went to the free throw line 18 times.
10 in the fourth quarter, right?
I think something like that, and he went 16 of 18 from the free throw line. The Orlando Magic, I mean, this is just how big he was for the Lakers. They had no answer for him. He's kind of drawn fouls, all this. Well, AD went to the free throw line 6 times.
Yeesh.
And that's the part, like, I'm all for the fans cheering MVP for Austin Reeves at the game. That's all great and dandy. But Austin Reeves is supposed to be, all these other players are supposed to be, they're supposed to be in addition to, not in place of. You can't have Austin Reeves having the big night and almost kind of saving a bad Anthony Davis night.
Right.
It's supposed to be, no, AD is supposed to be the constant every single night. Every single night, that's supposed to be there. The question is who else is going to help Anthony Davis?
Yes. Austin Reeves getting 35 should put you over the top to where, we won by 17 points, right? We got what we needed from AD, and Austin Reeves went nuts, and there you go. We took care of a bad team, and we won comfortably. Who's up next? That's how it's supposed to be. The last four games have put us right back in I don't know what you're going to get. You're going to get the team that went up 40 against New Orleans? Or are you going to get that same game where you turn a 40-point lead into an 11-point lead and a half, right? That's not good. Are you going to have a game against Houston where I don't care if Anthony Davis is there or not, you should find a way to be. That's a 16-win team. That's not a good team. And, oh, by the way, Anthony Davis doesn't play. Turn around the next one against Dallas. Anthony Davis gives you one of his, you know, low performances, followed by another relatively low performance. This is the guy that's going to determine whether you go or not. It felt like we'd kind of sort of turned a corner.
Yeah.
That he was going to give you more good than bad. It wasn't going to be 1-for-1. The last four games, it hasn't even been 1-for-1. It's been like 0-for-2, right? And you just don't know. He's their best player.
Yeah.
Right? Until LeBron comes back, he's mm-hmm. their best player. If I don't know what I'm going to get from my best player, am I going to get bad? Am I going to get mediocre or am I going to get transcendent? I don't know. And that's where they are right now. No one knows what he's going to give them, so no one knows what the Lakers are going to look like. If you could put Anthony Davis's good performances in the bank, and I'm not saying 40 a night. I'm saying just give this the 28-ish points. You know,
28, 12, and 2 blocks.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Lakers are probably going to win most of those games. You can't put that in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they are with 10 to go.
You know,
whatever equity they had, it's gone. Whatever slim margin of error you had when you were kind of nosing into that 7 and 8 and maybe kind of looking at the 6, it's gone. The bad news is the team directly behind you in 11th is tied with you. The good news is the 6th place team's only a game and a half. No one else is any good either. That's the good
news. Look, that to me is a little bit of the discouraging part, is because you're right. The Lakers and the Dallas Mavericks are a game and a half apart. Mavs are in the number 6 spot. Mm-hmm. Now Dallas has the tiebreaker. I won't get in all the tiebreaker stuff. That's how close they are to number 6. The problem is, what we've watched over the last week, that to me is what I take away from. You can't be depending on other teams to try to get in. So if the Lakers are sitting back, and I don't think they're doing this, but I was scoreboard watching the whole week. I was looking at the standings the whole week. But then you reach a point after they lost to the Mavs. I'm like, why am I even going to look at the scores? I don't care what other people do. If the Lakers aren't taking business or aren't handling business for themselves, kind of backing into it doesn't really feel all that good. If the playoffs started today, they have to win two games on the road just to get the Denver Nuggets in a seven-game set.
Do you know how many games wins separate the four from the 12? How many wins? The fourth place team has X amount of wins more than the 12th.
It can't be more than it's four at the most, but three or four.
Four.
Yeah.
It's four. That you were talking about it. It's the Lakers are in it for the very same reason. The Suns, the Clippers,
Jazz,
the Mavericks,
the
Golden State Warriors, the Thunder, the Timberwolves, the Jazz, and the Pelicans, they're all in it because nobody's good.
Yeah,
because
they're all inconsistent.
Nobody's
and can't
good.
String out.
Nobody's good.
Yeah.
Right now, Kevin Durant, you've got Luka, you've got LeBron. There's some wild cards lurking in there, right? Because these guys are so good. But the reason the Lakers are in it is not because they're really good. It's because everyone else stinks. Now, that's the same thing. Same thing for the Clippers. No one has taken this thing by the throat and kind of run it out. They're very much alive, but it's not because they're playing great basketball. I remember when Andy was in one of the days that you were off, and he's saying, the good news is if they get in, it'll be because they're playing really well. And it made perfect sense. You're not going to jump six teams because everybody's gone
during
bad.
During the break, right? There's 23 games left.
Everybody's been bad. Everybody's been – and that bad's the wrong word. Mediocre. Everyone's been equally mediocre for the better part of a month, and now we're down to 10 and be slightly better than that.
Let me give you the definition of mediocre. The Suns, their last 10, 5-5. Clippers, 5-5. Mavs, 4-6. Warriors, 4-6. Minnesota, 4-6. Jazz, 5-5. Pelicans, 4-6. So only two teams actually over 500
in that group.
The Thunder, since Shea came back, they're playing good. They're 7-3. And Lakers actually 6-4, believe it or not, in that 10-game stretch.
10 games to go. 10 games to go before we get really excited, or you get a little time to not come in four nights a week.
Jesus.
One or the other is going to happen. Watching the World Baseball Classic last night, watching that incredible American lineup, watching Trey Turner hit three home runs in two nights made me realize there's a huge opportunity that went by the board. That's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
All right, I'm going to throw something to you from Friday night, okay? What happened?
Magic's putting in a bid on the Washington Commanders.
Really?
Yeah, this is according to Sportico. Magic Johnson has joined the bidding for the Washington Commanders as part of a group led by 76ers and Devils co-owner Josh Harris.
Okay, I don't know if he's able to do that because of the March Madness tournament. He's in every other commercial.
He is in quite a few of them. He's in that Coke commercial.
Yep, the Coke one was the latest one that I saw. I'm like, Coke too?
Yeah, he's in the Coke commercial. He's in the Capital One, I think.
Yep,
with
that's
Samuel
with Barkley
Jackson.
And
yeah,
yep.
Yeah, he's in that one.
He's everyone.
He's Magic Johnson. Why not? Who doesn't like Magic?
I think that's why he's able to bid now.
Yeah, I think that's what got him. Money. He needed that Coke check to clear so he could put in a bid on
it
the
is
Commanders.
Interesting
he needed
nowadays.
That Coke money. Coca-Cola, guys. Coca-Cola.
Yeah, yeah. Coca-Cola. Very. Thank you, Al.
It is interesting nowadays that ownership of sports teams has transitioned a bit from being like a family dynasty that's handed down from one person to the other to now being
anymore.
A collection of billionaires, trillionaires, or whatever it is, that it's not one person. It's a collection of people, which I think is
unless
that better?
Unless you're Steve Ballmer.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. If you started Microsoft with your buddy, then yeah, you can.
But that's you can do what better you want. Or worse to have a bunch of people.
Okay, wait. I think this is actually family. It's a really good point, because one of the reasons why I think the Dodgers are so good, and I compare them to their run like a really, really good corporation. Yep. Right? They are run as if the I's are dotted, the T's are crossed. You just can't really poke a hole in the Los Angeles Dodgers. And then they can't do anything once postseason comes. It's like there's nothing more they can do. Right? That's all you can ask for is get your front office.
You're right.
The Clippers might be a good example too. It's a good front office. They spend more than anybody else in their front office because there's no luxury tax, any of that stuff. But yeah, the days of that's why I think eventually a guy like Dean Spanos, you can't hang with some of these other corporations or organizations, whatever it is. What used to be okay maybe 10, 15 years ago, probably not the future.
I think the biggest change is kind of goes together with what you're saying, that Dean Spanos owning the Chargers as an individual, like the Spanos family owned the team, right? Him being a bit of a non-competitive entity, like I'm not going to build a cool stadium, I'm not going to go buy the best players, that half the league kind of operated like that, if not more, right? We're going to exercise financial responsibility. We're not going to do it. Well, it changes when all of a sudden you've got the Cronkies and the Ballmers and whether Jeff Bezos gets in or these incredibly giant multi-billionaire type of guys that I'm in
on top
to
of and on top of good owners.
On top
like
of
there's
good
already
owners.
Good owners and good markets yes. that are competitive.
But all of a sudden Peter Seidler comes in and it's like I'm not here for the Padres to squeeze a living out of this, to turn my $100 million into $150 million. I want to win the World Series. And what's it going to take? I'll take him. Cohen's doing the same thing. The Dodgers, like you said, Al, are kind of an interesting one because they exercise some financial restrictions, but the second they need to spend money, they will. They're not just not doing it. The Artie Moreno's great piece in Sports Illustrated, we'll talk about it tomorrow a little bit, about he spends money. It's not like he won't, but he doesn't just say, bleep it, I'll pay the first threshold, the second threshold, the third threshold. They're not doing that. So I think that's what's changed is you don't have a bunch of families that are looking at each other in those calling, hey, listen, don't go crazy with this guy. Because if you've been, all right, I'm not going to do it. There's fewer and fewer guys that are looking to make money in this as opposed to make egos in it.
So okay. One thing, too, about that, isn't it? So take the Buss family, for example. You know that the Buss family cares as much about the Lakers as every fan out there. And that's one thing is like if this ownership is passed on through families, you know that these owners care. They really are invested in it because it's been in their family for so long, as opposed to a bunch of businessmen who don't have emotional attachments to the team. It's a business-making opportunity, something like Magic Johnson, who's not from Washington.
But it's ego, right? Peter Seidler's ego is tied up in this. Steve Cohen's ego is tied up in it. It's not like Seidler's not a great example because his grandfather was with the O'Malley's, right? So he comes from a baseball fan. It's, I have more money than I could ever, I could go waste a couple billion on this and I wouldn't even know it's gone. Like, it's those guys. I want to win the World Series. I grew up as a Mets fan. I want the World Series.
Yeah.
Give me him. Hey, that's really irresponsible. Don't give a damn. Give me him. That's the ego that gets involved in this, whereas Spanos and guys like that are like, hey, this, if we do this, are we going to be able to pay for that? It's a totally different.
So I'm going to give an example. On Friday, Michael and I were doing pre, and there was a story out that the Warriors and the Lakers combined to pay more than $88 million in revenue sharing receipts to smaller market teams for the amount of money they spent last year.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know how the NBA works, I'm not explaining it to you, just in general. If you go over that luxury tax versus teams that don't go over the luxury tax, whatever total in revenue, which I think this year was $163 million, is then distributed to all the teams that didn't go over.
Right.
So
baseball does it the same way.
And the reason why I explain it that way, you can kind of look, okay, there's certain teams, the Pacers probably will never go over. There's certain teams out there that will never go over, right?
You know who was they were waiting for their check in the
Clippers.
Mail? The Padres. The Padres are one of those teams like, hey, the Dodgers went over, the Yankees are over, the Red Sox, okay. So we're going to get another, I'm making up numbers here. We get $20 million from the excess pool. Their tax penalty comes our way. Now the Padres are paying like $100 million in tax into the pool. That's how, and one guy changed it. Literally one guy's like, you know what? I want to win the World Series. Him. You owe us 150 million tax? Don't care. Give them to these guys. That's how it's changed.
Do you remember?
Would this be the first non-Los Angeles sporting place that Magic gets involved in with ownership? Because it's the Dodgers, right? And
Dodgers,
Lakers,
he had a piece of the Lakers for a while.
Yeah,
which he sold to...
Does he have a part piece of a soccer team, an EPL team?
I don't know an EPL team. I know LAFC. He's a part of that. I don't
LeBron,
know what it
LeBron's
is with the English.
Got a piece of Liverpool or Arsenal,
or one of
it's
those.
It's the Fenway group that does that. But that's why I think it's interesting that Magic is getting involved in the Commanders, not just because it's
the NFL.
It's getting the door in there, and anywhere matters more than any other sport.
Let me just read this again in case you're wondering why we're talking about this. Magic Johnson, this is according to Sportico on Twitter. Magic Johnson has joined the bidding for the Washington Commanders as part of a group led by 76ers and Devils co-owner Josh Harris. So Josh Harris owns the Devils. He owns the Philadelphia 76ers, and he wants a football team. What are you waiting? Get a baseball team while you're at it. You're at the store. You're buying things. Just pick up a baseball team while you're there as well.
What were we reading? That Michael Jordan's going to – he's looking to sell his stake in the NBA or with the Charlotte Hornets. That's interesting. It's fascinating.
You started to say something before the Magic.
Oh, you know, so Friday night, Lakers were taking on the Mavs. Okay. You know, we were having this conversation earlier in the week, and then it got to Friday, so we didn't have a show, obviously, Saturday, so it wasn't a conversation. Kind of lost its way the last couple of days. So we've had the conversation. What do you think the Lakers would do? And a lot of it's going to be predicated on how the rest of this season plays out. Maybe it has nothing to do with that. The Lakers have gone out and have gone, you can call it, when they went out to go get Russell Westbrook, it was less about building a team. It was more about, let's put these three stars together, and then let's figure it out from there. So Friday night comes, and Kyrie Irving comes to Los Angeles. He's now representing the Dallas Mavericks. Kyrie was unstoppable. I think he had 13 in the fourth, 38 points total, looked fantastic. They didn't have an answer. Only Lakers could do was just throw a double team at him and hope he was going to make the pass. He did that. Maxi Kleber won the game. He had a three. But you know,
I remember that part.
You know how we've had this conversation. We went back and forth before the trade deadline. Or I'm sorry, yeah, before the trade deadline, when Kyrie Irving requested the trade, 80% of Laker fans were like, "Go get Kyrie."
Sure.
Sounds good. Okay.
Sure. More, I think that's low, by the way, Sleek.
Whatever number that was,
95.
Okay, 95%.
Pretty high.
Okay, then he goes to the Dallas Mavericks and they can't play defense. They're struggling a little bit. But the Lakers, more importantly, whatever is happening with Dallas, you felt like you got D'Angelo Russell. You had Jared Vanderbilt. You had Malik Beasley. They built a team.
Yep.
And Lakers were playing good basketball. Now the dust is kind of starting to settle a little bit. D'Angelo Russell, he's not a role player, but he's not a superstar. Period. There's just no other way. He's going to get paid 25 a year or whatever
he
gets.
He's between those two things.
But he's not. That's what he is. You got a glimpse of Kyrie Irving for a second on Friday, and it was, this dude can't miss once he gets going, 38 points. You got kind of a chance to see it. And the only reason I bring it up because Friday post-game show, it was coming up, and it will continue to be there. Wait a minute. If you got a chance to get Kyrie this upcoming summer, do you go for that or do you go out and build a team? I just thought it was a fascinating couple of days that presented itself.
Well, it was very on display.
Yeah.
Right? It's right there in front of you. And I think you can have an opinion and I can have an opinion. I don't want to get into the Kyrie Irving business, anything beyond short term. The trade, sure, because you're out of it at the end of the year and then you can make a different decision. I don't want to be in the Kyrie business long term, but it doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what you think. Quite frankly, I don't think it matters what Rob Pelinka thinks. I think it matters what LeBron thinks. If LeBron wants that, I think the Lakers will try to make that happen. Now, whether they can or not, who knows? Whether they can make his deal or not, who knows? But if the Lakers season ends the way it's likely to end, which is early, right? Either you get in or you don't, or you get into a series or you don't. But the odds of the Lakers making a deep run are pretty long odds. If it ends early and LeBron says, I like what we have right now, let's run it back, then that's what's going to happen. If he says, get me Kyrie Irving, I want to do that again, I think that's likely what happens. I think it's LeBron's decision, much more than what Al thinks, Travis thinks, Rob Pelinka, Gene. I think that LeBron James's needs will come first.
Bron has 2 years left after this year, and the final year is a player option. Kyrie's going to try to max out as much money as he can possibly get.
Of course he is.
5 years and 200 plus, whatever it is.
That whether it's a good idea or not is an totally separate conversation. I think it's a terrible idea, but it doesn't matter. It's what 23 things or six now. Whatever he wants, I think that's what it's going to be. All right, back to the WBC for a second, because I'm watching that game last night. As much fun as it was, as exciting as Saturday night was against Venezuela, I couldn't help but think, damn, that's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. I think I'm going to just start walking around the studio here, the offices, and just with our award, just every single day. Pickleball, 710, best team. What you got?
We should have a wireless mic so that we can walk. You know how they get upset at us for using the restroom? We can just walk wherever. We don't have to technically be in the studio.
Yeah, I feel like we need to peacock it. This is our first real win that we've had ever. Right, that we got shut out at the Mandy's.
Andy disagrees.
I don't care what Andy thinks. We got the trophy. The proof is in the hardware, and you're holding the hardware.
I'm gonna get a chain. I'm gonna get.
So I said earlier, drill a hole in it,
hang right,
and
here.
Have it. It's heavy. It's a nice glass trophy. Best 710 team.
Then I'm gonna get a neck brace in a week. What's wrong
with Sleep? Get like a tray. Get like a shoulder harness, right? Like you know when guys like get a car accident, they break their neck and they have to wear that thing that makes them stand up real straight? You should get one of those.
What happened to Slee? Well, they won the pickleball tournament. And they had
Looks good. Looks good. You got to wipe it off though, Slee. You got fingerprints all over yours already. You got to be like the guy of the Stanley Cup and wear white gloves when you walk around with it so it doesn't get all fingerprinted.
Mine's
going
to have peanut butter on the corner. What happened?
You know what's funny? Every time when they bring out the Lombardi trophy, somebody wins the Super Bowl, it's a beautiful trophy, right? I think Tiffany made the trophy. It's just the iconic, the Lombardi trophy, the ball standing on top of that pedestal. After it's been handled by like 1.5 people, it's just covered in fingerprints. They need some sort of finish.
And they're all kissing it. Oh my gosh!
Fingerprint that thing up. Like I need a cleaner. It bothers me aesthetically. I want that thing cleaned. Like your trophy right now has fingerprints on it.
All over
it. I want to reach over there and just wipe it off.
How's yours right now?
I put it right back in the box. Put it right back. Look.
I thought you were peacocking it.
Well, once people come in here, we got one. They're the same, so we'll be able to kind of peacock it a little bit like that. So Trey Turner has hit four home runs.
Mm-hmm.
He hit the grand slam on Saturday night against Venezuela to break that game open, ultimately the game winner. He hit two more last night, including one that kind of really started to open that game up against Cuba. They demolished Cuba last night. Of all the games that I've seen so far.
Was that 13-2 or something
14-2.
Like that? 14-2.
That was the game that was the least exciting simply because they were just outgunned. They just clobbered them. It wasn't great. But I got to be honest. So listening to John Smoltz call the game, and he's terrific. Joe Davis was on the call last night. Kenny Albert was on some of the ones earlier. And they're talking about this American lineup, which is just remarkable. Here's what the Americans threw at the Cubans last night, and just 1-9. Betts, Trout, Goldschmidt, Arenado, Schwarber, Will Smith, Pete Alonso, Tim Anderson, Trey Turner.
Jeez.
Okay, all-stars, MVPs all over the place. This is not super different than what the Dodgers were throwing at people for the last couple of years. Like, you look at it, Betts is a Dodger. Turner was a Dodger. Will Smith is a Dodger. You throw in a few more guys. Freddie Freeman.
Freddie
Freeman wanted to be on the American team instead of the Canadian team, he would have been the starting first baseman last night. This is the lineup. The Cody Bellinger, who I understand has struggled for the last couple of years, is another former, not just an all-star, he's an MVP. Max Muncy is a multiple-time all-star along the way. The Americans are doing what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to clobber people 14-2, mm-hmm. hit a grand slam in a big moment to break open a very tight game. This is what you're supposed to do. I'm watching this, loving every minute of it, loving the atmosphere, loving the flags and the drums. It's just, it's super, super fun.
Yeah.
Little part in the back of my brain's like, Dodgers missed such a huge opportunity that they had this unbelievable lineup with Turner and Betts and Seager and Freeman and Muncy and Turner and they got one weird one in the bubble. Like I couldn't help but think these guys are showing up when it matters most, and the Dodger players over the course of the last 5 years haven't been able to do it, and it just was always front and center in my brain.
By the way, it's completely fair. I thought what you were saying was something to the effect of, the Trey Turner, they missed out on the Austin. No, I think he was going to go, right? Trey Turner was going to go probably, his $300 million, whatever it was. It's a funny thing. I don't even know from a money perspective, not to make it sound like that's not a lot of money, just sound like he wanted to be out on the East Coast. That's where he wanted to be.
Yeah, that's where he's from.
So that's where I thought the angle that you were taking there. But I think what you're saying here about you only get so many opportunities. And the Dodgers have extended this window – It's really special what they've done. It really has been. Just to be so competing.
They had a rotation at four guys with a Cy Young Award. Four.
To be competing every single year the way they are. And like you said, to have so many disappointing seasons year in and year out. And even the last one with Trey Turner on that team, you win 111 games and four games in, it's over. That part of it is, I don't know what this season's going to be, but no one's expecting them to go back and win 100 games or anything along those lines. That's just most likely not going to be in the cards.
This lineup they had last night, it feels like a lineup supposed to score 14 runs, right? I mean, you got Betts, Trout, Goldschmidt, Arenado, Schwarber, Smith, Alonso, Anderson, Turner. Yeah, 14 runs sounds about right. They scored 9 the game before against. Yes, that's how it's supposed to be.
But these guys are dispersed amongst 100% X amount of teams.
And you, by the way, you look around some of these other teams. There are Dodgers on Julio. The Mexico team. Mm-hmm. They've got two Dodgers. Austin Barnes is on that team, too. There were Dodgers on the Puerto Rican team. Kike Hernandez is another player that was on there for a long time. Like, they're just – Manny Machado is another one of these guys that plays
for the
Dominican
team. Freeman, we mentioned,
yep. Freeman. They're loaded with Dodgers on all these teams, and I get it. This American lineup last night is better than the Dodger lineup they threw out there, but not by a mile. It's better. We don't have Mike Trout. Okay. But beyond that, you're like, yeah, okay. I mean, the Dodgers play this team. If Mookie could play for both, I don't know who wins that game if they played 7 times. Probably that USA team. They got 1 in a 60-game season, played in Texas against the Rays that no one got to see in person. It just, it right there.
Oh, I get it.
You missed it. You had a chance to have a team like this. Mm-hmm. All they needed, and I truly believe this, and taking nothing against the Padres or away from the Padres, who kicked the Dodgers' butts last year in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. They did. You just felt like you needed one hit to break that thing open. One hit from Mookie, and there's Trey, and there's Freddie, and just boom, 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 boom. You felt like the dominoes would start to go if just one or two of these guys could get hot over one or two or three or five seasons, and it never really happened.
By the way, how many times did they say that when the season ended, it was, you know, 9 times out of 10, that hard hit ball by Will Smith probably goes into the gap. Just using that as an example, every one of these guys were saying, well, I hit the ball hard, or I did this, or I did that. It just didn't go our way. And there wasn't that moment where in a critical game 3 or even in game 4 when they took that 3-0 lead, and you thought 3-0, they should have cashed in some more runs than 3-0, and you just kept it close enough to where the Padres still, in a weird way, believed, hey, guys, we're not completely out of this game. Dodgers never really had those moments.
What do you think is going through Mike Trout's head playing these games? What do you think? Because
I know what's going through his head.
When Turner hit that home run on Saturday, he was the first one out there. He was jumping around and going nuts, and you could tell it wasn't contrite. He was super pumped up for this. You can tell he's loving every quote is about how fun it is to play in these games. When he goes back to the Angels, and let's just assume that the Angels kind of go the way that they've gone for the last 7 years in a row. They have a losing record. At some point, is he like, man, I just can't do this anymore. I got to go play somewhere else.
By the way, if there's a time to do it, just see how this year plays out. One of the best players, the best player in baseball, is going to make a decision on the Angels if it hasn't already been made, that he's going to leave in Ohtani. Then why not just, if not now, then when? You're not getting any younger.
No.
You're watching
healthier.
You're watching the WBC, and you said, what do you think he's thinking in these games? He's thinking, this is amazing. This is, man, to play meaningful games into
in March.
and the funny thing is Mookie Betts is playing each one of these games as it's meaningful, is Trey Turner, as is, you know, a lot of these guys. But the difference is, they've been in the postseason. They have a World Series under their belt. That even if their career stopped today, they can at least sleep at night saying, I played at the absolute highest level and I cashed in on one.
Do you have a preference on Mexico or Japan tonight? Because I can't wait for the game. But do you, as far as winning the tournament for the Americans or just entertainment value, do you want to see them play one or the other?
I would say just because Ohtani is a part of Japan, and I think he would only come in the bullpen.
Right.
I think that's what they announced.
Can you imagine?
I know.
Can you imagine? Now coming in to pitch Shohei Ohtani.
The trumpets.
Diaz isn't using them. He's down for a while. Let's have Ohtani use the trumpets.
The Mexico piece, too, would be fantastic.
It really
would be awesome.
The energy for... So that's the thing. I think the Japan-U.S. is a better baseball game. Mexico-U.S. is a far better environment.
That's awesome.
right?
Yeah, that's awesome.
And where's it going to be played again?
Miami.
Okay.
Everything starting in the quarterfinals, everything, which, by the way, perfect place for it. Mm-hmm. Close to Cuba, close to Puerto Rico, close to the DR, in the United States, close to Mexico. Like, where else would you do it? It's the perfect spot to do it. People are going nuts.
Yeah, they're at 4 o'clock. They're at 4 o'clock tonight.
No, Ohtani. If Ohtani can somehow pitch in that game.
Well, that's the only – Ohtani is the draw. But if it's not – I mean, if Ohtani's not
– they're probably better than Mexico, but who knows? It doesn't mean they'll win.
And if Ohtani's not in the mix, then I think everybody's saying, yeah, USA-Mexico, because that's a phenomenal –
Well, you look at that Mexican team too. And it's like there's not an Ohtani on that team, but almost all of those guys in the Mexican team are major league players. They're not super all like, I mean, you got Urias and these guys, but those Mexican teams are really good too. Mm. Can't wait. They should do this every year.
I
love it.
I was thinking about this yesterday. This kind of came out of nowhere where you have all these meaningful NBA games. You're in the middle of March Madness. You got this WBC that's going on. It kind of made me think a little bit about October.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In a weird way. I know October you got the NFL, but.
I'll be on the college basketball, whatever. The NBA, I like to watch the NBA. I enjoy, but I have been, baseball has been on number one priority for the last week, and it's been absolutely great. Now I only got to wait 6 months for it to be like this again. Absolutely. The Dub coming up next. Strav and Slee, 710 ESPN. Happy birthday, 78th birthday, Slee, to none other than Laker Pat Riley.
There you go.
Played for the Lakers, broadcast for the Lakers, and of course, won a whole bunch of championships for the Lakers. Pat Riley, 78 today.
One of my favorite stories is every time Michael talks about Pat Riley, it's like he starts kind of sitting up in his seat. He talks about, he'll say something. He's like, yeah, I can't believe he made us do two-a-days and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, Michael, have you ever told Pat Riley? He's like, are you crazy? I would never tell him.
Riley's intimidating.
Yeah.
He's a super intimidating guy. Reminds me of the Winning Time. Hopefully that season two is not too far away. Is Riley the best coach in Laker history? And I understand that Phil Jackson is on that list. And I understand that Phil Jackson is the greatest coach in NBA history. Mm-hmm. But Jackson had the run in Chicago and the run in LA. It feels like he's of two places, right? Riley's coach, I know he's in New York. I know that he was in Miami. But when, and maybe it's just because I'm here in LA.
No, I think what you're going to say.
I think of him as the great, just take the Laker thing. Yeah. For me, it's him.
It's Lakers Celtics. It's him during arguably the greatest era of the NBA. It's the Showtime era. It's Magic. It's Kareem. It's Worthy. It's the suits and the slick back hair. I mean,
Showtime.
Showtime.
Yeah.
And that is the one thing, you know, Phil Jackson in Chicago won 6 NBA championships, then came to LA and put 5 on top of it. So stupid. But Pat Riley was kind of you never really had success against the Boston Celtics. Yeah. I mean, it had a lot to do with that. I for those who associate more with Pat, I associate more with Phil Jackson.
Yeah.
Because that was
era. It's not a bad pick. Yeah. I mean, picking Phil Jackson. Riley's on that list, too. We talk about the two guys that jump to mind first and foremost with guys that had a playing career or a career in one lane and then transitioned into a second lane where they were both incredibly high level. Jerry West is at the top of the list, right? Because Hall of Fame player, Hall of Fame executive. Maybe the best basketball executive ever. It's not ridiculous. Ozzie Newsome is another one. Hall of Fame tight end with the Cleveland Browns and was maybe the best executive of his era in the NFL with the Baltimore Ravens. He's another one that is, if he's not equal to Jerry, he's 1 millimeter behind him. Riley's not on that level, but Riley's career as a coach and then Riley's career as team president in Miami, pretty damn impressive.
You're 100%. It's actually probably undervalued what he's done as a president, as always, Miami's always competitive. We forget the championship Lakers won in 2020. Just against the Heat.
They're never
Heat were
bad.
Back in the finals.
And they're almost never bad. Mm-hmm. Like, they never bottom out. That's really hard to do in the NBA.
All right, so speaking of what we talked about last segment with the World Baseball Classic, but whether or not we want to see Japan or Mexico, so Bob Nightingale just tweeted this out. He said, he's quoting an interview with the manager for Japan. He says, is there any chance Shohei Ohtani would pitch in relief versus USA on Tuesday if they were played in the finals? The manager says, well, it's not a zero, but considers it an extreme long shot. Yu Darvish is the scheduled starter. So that's kind of the update we have for Ohtani.
That's awesome. I mean, put it to you this way. The second you hear it's a non-zero, it means he's probably going to pitch. Mm-hmm. I'm sure the Angels are probably like, oh, please, my goodness, please, 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 please stay healthy. But what you didn't hear is there is no chance Shohei Ohtani will pitch. Look, the game could be lopsided, right? Either way, Japan could smoke the U.S. The U.S. could smoke Japan.
Yeah.
And it could be like, we're not going to put him in a game. It's 10-2.
Sure.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Darvish isn't a bad starter either. So.
Darvish is a great starter. But, okay, it's 4-3. It's the eighth inning. Let's say the U.S. is up to bat. They got the lead.
48% of the households.
You got to bring him in to shut it down, right? Let's say you got the lead.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say Japan is leading. You got to bring him in. Winning the World Baseball Classic in Japan would be a very, very big deal. If it's close, he'll pitch.
Do you think the Angels are saying, Trout, get this all out of your system. We hope you enjoyed it. Come back here, hang out. The season's about to start.
Cross your fingers that everybody comes home in one piece. I
know.
Because you said it earlier, these games are played with a level of intensity that are atypical at this point in the calendar. It's March. You do not play October-level intensity baseball in
Imagine
March.
Football players playing their hardest in August. Imagine NBA players just sweating and diving all over the place in October. That's not how it usually goes.
Tiger King came out on this day in 2020. That seems like 100 years ago.
It does seem like that.
Tiger King was something that was a regular part of our lives.
Okay, did that catch you? Like, were you watching everything? You know how they do some of these post shows too, and people were signing up and doing live streams and everything else?
So when it came out, right, when everybody watched it, I watched Tiger King like everybody else. But the second we'd gone past that, and then they tried to bring it back with like the Joel McHale did like a one-off extra hour kind of thing, I could not have had any less interest. That came and went fast.
Then
John,
I would go back.
Tiger King?
Then I'd go back and wonder why I was even watching
and,
it.
And I would like to steal a line from Dodgers president Stan Kasten. Those are 10 hours of my life I'll never get back.
He's not lying.
And by the way, what happened to – there was going to be movies. Like, Kate McKinnon was going to play.
They did come out. They actually did come out. They were on Peacock. And
they already
and
went?
Yep. No one watched.
Oh, I didn't go.
So, yeah, it was on Peacock.
There's the answer to that.
Yeah. Like, I always thought Tiger King was a byproduct of the pandemic. We had nothing better to do, so we all watched Tiger – Mason couldn't get enough of it.
Oh, I'm not going to lie. I was into it in the moment because there was nothing else really to kind of wrap your head around. We were staring at the
TV. It was that and The Last Dance.
But those
two things were beneficiaries of the pandemic.
The Last Dance was a good month or two after Lion King?
It was in
Tiger
June.
King?
It was in June.
Yeah. And Tiger
it came
King,
out earlier. I remember Last Dance came out earlier than they were originally planning to.
But no, I'm talking like Tiger King. When did we get locked down? Was it in March? It was in March.
Yeah,
mid-March.
Of 2019,
right? So 2020.
Okay.
So we all were Tiger Kinging it up towards the end of March, early April. Jordan's thing didn't come out till June.
Yeah, it was June.
So
July,
we had
like
3 months before we'd kind of figured out some sort of other alternative entertainment. There was nothing.
We were watching The Last Dance as if each episode was a playoff game. And, I mean, literally, we were watching it as if it was a series.
My favorite meme from Tiger King, though, is the, I'm never going to financially recover from this. And then he, because it's right after the girl's arm got bitten off.
Oh, yeah,
and then
tough.
He was like, oh, yeah, I'm never going to financially recover from this. That's an all-star meme.
I want to go back to this real quick for you, John. Today is Pat Riley's 78th birthday.
Okay.
We were kind of talking about Phil Jackson is the answer because he's got 11 championships and all. But when you just think of the first Laker coach that you associate with your Laker memories, is it Riley or is it Jackson?
It's actually Bill Sharman because
really?
Sharman was the coach of the team that won 33 games in a row. And I was a little kid. I was like 10 years old when that happened. And I like every night we'd be watching the Lakers just wondering when they were going to lose. Mm. And they just never did. They went months without losing. And then Milwaukee finally got them. So to me, it's Sharman. And then Riley and Phil are almost like a coin flip. You know, they're both great. They both won multiple titles. Riley has gone on to take two other teams to the finals. So, I mean, they're 1A and 1, you know.
Another Laker legend had a day today. The Lakers retired Kareem's 33 on this day in 1990.
What took him so long? You know,
well, he'd been out of the league for 5 minutes when they decided to hang that thing up.
Yeah, they easily could have
done it the night he was done.
They could have done it in 1984.
Right.
Just put him on. That's one of those things. Like, there's no reason not to put Patrick Mahomes in the Hall of Fame, right? He's going to the Hall of Fame. Why not put him in now?
Well, Michael makes this point that if you're a surefire Hall of Famer, why wait?
Yeah.
You know, why?
There isn't a good argument for it.
I'm glad they retired Kobe's numbers while he was alive, or else if they would have followed that stupid rule, he would have missed it.
Hmm. Well, you think about, like, Tom Brady had been a Hall of Famer for 12 years by the time he finally retired, right? By the time he'd put two or three in the books, we're done. He's going to the Hall of Fame.
This a step further, this same concept. Why do we wait until people die to celebrate their lives?
Yes.
In other words,
I brought this up, the pre-funeral.
Right.
Yeah.
I would like to be around when everybody is saying all these nice things about
age?
Me.
It's like that episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Right, where Larry...
who was having the pre... Albert Brooks was having the pre
Larry thought it was stupid.
Yeah, that's the question. What age?
When do you do it at 50? Do you do it at 75? Like, when do you decide that you're going to do
it's
it?
It's a good time. When do you call for the pre-funeral?
Hey, you know what? Guys, I'm feeling...
I think 70 or 75.
70. What? I think 70 is a good number. I'm shooting for 75. Like, that's a stretch goal.
I have a question for you guys. We'll do it in Supercross Talk. So, Ireland, I think I caught you peeking Slee's trophy out of the corner of your eye.
Were you looking at something else?
What is that for?
Al, go ahead and fill him in on what we won today.
Still trying to figure it out myself here. Mm-hmm. Apparently, we were the best...
You mean apparently?
...pickleball team of 710 ESPN. Not apparently.
Wait a second.
Didn't you guys get beat in your first round?
Those details are not necessary.
We got the trophy.
But how did you get it ahead of Mason? He won and you didn't.
What was the process?
I think the process was we continued to play.
I don't begrudge you this. I wasn't good enough.
What the hell? I'm feeling a little begrudging.
Yeah, I know.
But you deserve begrudging. You went 0-1 and what is this? AYSO? You get a trophy just for showing up? There's never been a trophy less deserved.
It was determined that if you take anyone from the station and you put them up against me and Trav, that we would win.
How was that determined?
Mason and his brother won a game.
A panel of experts.
No, you know what this is? This is another instance. Morales hates our show and likes your show.
That's not true.
I think he feels sorry for the Mandela show.
that's what it is.
Possible, but no.
Yeah, this has Morales written all over it.
I don't think Chris was the one involved in the decision making. I think it was Tommy and
Could
Greg.
Have been Greg.
I think Greg had a big part.
I will say, Travis might have been the best player from 710.
No, Slee's the best.
I would love
to declare myself the best. I think I might have been the second best, but Al's the best player at this game at the station.
I can hit the ball back, but what he
You're
can
better
do,
than DeMarco?
Yes.
I don't actually
Those guys
see DeMarco
actually
play.
Came in overrated.
Yeah.
Kirk really dropped the ball.
Oh, did he?
Yes.
I will. Okay.
DeMarco was pretty good.
Let me just say this right now to challenge you.
Yeah.
I will bet you whatever amount of money you want. One-on-one, Sliwa against DeMarco. I'll take DeMarco.
But that's not the format. The format was doubles. The format was not singles.
Yeah, not singles, so not heads up.
That's
really hard.
I actually think DeMarco is better off with having two people than one.
Yeah, plus he's got a back thing. He's got a chronic back thing.
We wiped the court with Sedano and Cap.
Yep.
We wiped the court with Bergman and Jorge.
Yep.
Who else did we play, Al?
Burke. Was it Burke?
Oh, so after you guys got eliminated, you hung around and played each other?
Yes.
Okay.
So after we got eliminated, and by the way, I got slowly
worse. Were you the
worse.
Only people from 710 that won a match?
AK and BK.
Brian and Andy won a match.
Yates. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but Yates' partner dropped out. I think he's supposed to play Lindsey, right?
Lindsey
didn't play.
And he pulled a ringer.
Why did Lindsey not play?
I don't know. But
Lindsey was there, but
they pulled
a
ringer out of the stands who was like a pro.
Okay.
So Yates' performance is...
It was like
tossed in the can.
That the celebrity basketball game, just grabbing Corey Maggette in a 2-on-2.
Yeah, no, it's true.
That's basically
it's
what,
true.
It
about totally
what
it was. It totally is.
It's about what it was.
Now, you guys, I am so friggin' sore right now. I mean, I'm sore in places I didn't know I had. My ankles tweaked.
For instance.
My ankles tweaked.
Now, wait a minute. Did you fall down?
No, not even one time. Not one time.
Okay, so the other bet I made two bets. I made one bet that Mason would fall down.
You lose.
Right. And then here's the other one. I said Jorge and Bergman would win one match. Bergman just told me they won a total of 3 points.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Who
they lost 11-2, 11-1.
Okay, so there's a story that goes along with that. There was a guy, and we saw Bergman and Jorge played before us. And I looked over there, and there's a guy in a yellow tracksuit, yellow, top to bottom.
Okay.
And I'm like, you don't wear that unless you're really good. And he at one point is like returning serves between his legs. Oh, it's like he had no chance whatsoever. That guy was the ultimate ringer.
So that's who they played?
Yeah. I think part of the reason that we won the award that we did is that we played against a pair of guys that are regular pickleball players.
Right.
And we hung in there. To your point about Jorge and Bergman.
Back
but
to
we,
something.
We lost 11-10, 11-6.
Like, oh,
we were in the game. And I think if we played those guys again, we'd have, I don't know if we'd beat them every time, but we would beat them periodically. Andy and Brian played against guys that had never played. Your brother is a very, very
good
player.
He's a baller. Good player.
So
very
he was all over the court. Okay. He was taking care of business.
All right. So if Mason's brother is a really good player and they won a match and you guys played one match and lost, this is a tainted trophy.
No, it's not.
No, you know what this is?
No, it's not.
It's what's wrong with America today.
You know why it's
giving
not
out trophies to losers?
Because I have it.
You know? Yeah, exactly.
No, you know, it's what's wrong. You're part of this woke
this
crowd.
This is what's wrong with America.
John, don't you dare allowed to bring politics onto the show.
No, it's
I'm bringing
a woke
up right now. We are giving this that we're ruining youth in America
right
by giving
there,
out
John.
Trophies.
Trophy in a box.
Trophies to
velvet lined box.
What's your record in pickleball?
Yesterday?
Yeah.
Or Saturday? 3-1.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, because they went into the station round robin. Yeah. You guys won the station round robin.
Oh, well, then that's what the trophy.
That's what the trophy says.
Yeah, it's
John.
not for the.
What part do you not understand?
I don't understand. Is this you entered a pickleball tournament
and
you
we
were
won
eliminated
a trophy
in the first round?
But won a trophy.
And you're out puffing your chest.
John,
and
John
right,
when people ask,
look at
when
that.
People
look
ask,
look how nice
when people ask, hey, how'd you win this? I'm going to say, I lost.
Yes, exactly.
I'm going to put it right next to all of my Travis Burr Island trophies that I have. I've got, I think, three of those.
What?
What are you doing?
What?
I tried to break it and I broke the wall.
That's not cool. Al, that's you better not do that to mine.
What?
That's all I'm saying.
You each have one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. Is it intact?
Everything's intact.
The wall
except
is
for
not.
The wall,
the wall is not intact.
Wait a minute. I got to change something here.
Oh, he's moving a Lakers jersey over the dent
I'm putting
in the wall.
It away. Yeah, I know.
Say,
right.
Don't
hurt.
Let him it's treat fun. Your
yeah,
material
keep
like that.
That trophy to
Jeff
yourself.
Mace?
I had so much fun. It was really cool because, you know, my brothers were both there. And and it's very rare that my brothers are together with my mom, all three of us, and it was really cool. Not stepdad Leo was there. Juan all weekend. We had pictures and stuff. We had a really, really good time.
So Al was not particularly sore today. I was okay yesterday, but it's day two.
Yeah,
it's typically
sore.
The bad thing. My calves in particular, but my legs are so incredibly sore from this thing. And we only play, like, if you added up all the playing time, maybe an hour and a half.
Didn't play that much.
It wasn't.
No, it wasn't. It was. And by the way, the further we got along, the less I was able to do. So, like, in the first match, I was pretty credible. The second match, man, you better hit that serve right at me or I've got no chance. Plus, they were spinning the serves.
That's what Al does really well.
Is your mind saying, wow, that's going to no, it's not coming to me. I'm just not going to move.
Yeah, no, it's like, you hit it to me, I'm good. Otherwise, I'm screwed.
Trav was rocking Vans during the
literally
wore Vans
shoes. You needed better shoes. That's one of the reasons why you've got problems today.
I think my footwear was
there's
maybe
no support. There's no support in a pair of Vans.
They're not. You don't see a lot of guys playing in the NBA in Vans. I understand that, but I'm okay with the decision I made.
Overall, that was a fun event.
It was a great event. Met a lot of listeners. Yeah. Shout out to, let's see, Swanee. Did you meet Swanson? He was there.
I don't think I met
Candy,
him.
Candy, like, listens every single day. Nick Silverman. Like,
I met
all,
him.
All these
Ian,
guys.
Chuck, Rachel. There were people that literally listened to the station all day
Ted,
long.
Ted, so. Mary,
Biggie,
Sam.
Bryce.
You're just
Cooper. Colton.
When somebody from the OC showed up.
Tyler.
Scotty.
Ron.
Austin.
How did they do, speaking of which? How did Ron and Walsh do?
They won the first round.
Yeah,
did they?
They won their
good.
First match.
They did they good. Get an easy draw, or did they beat a real team?
No, I think they beat a decent team, but they're good.
Yeah, Ron Mitchell and our former sales manager, Richard Walsh, who now lives in Palm Desert and apparently plays pickleball every day and golfs every day. He's got the life.
Yeah,
he's got the life.
Life right
there's
got
to be some margarita time or something in there, right?
I'm sure you can work that in. Work that in. Yeah, but the station did a good job. Everybody from around here, you know, social media team and Carlo and Tommy Lamb
awesome.
And all the promotions team, just fantastic. They know how to put on a show, and it was really cool to meet a lot of listeners.
It was terrific. Little breaking news right now, guys. Emily just sent this to me. Roger Goodell and the NFL owners expected to finalize a multi-year contract extension – for the commissioner at next week's owners' meetings in Phoenix. So
that's
a loss
for Jerry Jones.
Yeah, he wanted him out.
He wanted somebody else.
Yeah, that Kraft, it seems, is Roger Goodell's guy, right? That's his.
Is that right? That's
the guy that has his back more than the others. But Roger Goodell, was he making $45 million a year? At least that was the last time it got reported. Yeah. I think it was 44.
That's a gig right there.
Is that not the best gig in the world? You go up, you get booed at the draft, you collect your checks and keep it moving.
Yeah, right.
It's not a bad gig at all.
And all the owners don't care if you get booed. They're just like, just take care of us.
Well, he's the
meat shield, right? Just go out there and take all the slings and arrows from everything that comes along in the league and pay me accordingly, and we're good to go.
I saw a little bit of the baseball classic. I heard you talking about that. But
Mace,
I became a total NCAA tournament zombie.
You're an expert?
Yesterday. Not an expert by any stretch, but I watched everything except True TV. I can't find that. But the rest of the channels I can find. I don't even know if
what
I get
True TV. What is your platform?
TV.
Are you a Cox?
Spectrum. Yeah, I don't know where True TV is. Yeah. I don't know how games ended up on True TV.
Are you enjoying the World Baseball Classic?
Yeah, I am.
It's super fun.
Yeah, I'm going to watch Mexico and Japan tonight. That should be fun.
So is the winner of that play the U.S. in the final?
Yes. Right. Okay. And that's tomorrow, right?
And the manager of the Japanese team was just quoted a minute ago saying that there is not a 0% chance that Ohtani pitches in the championship if they get that.
But out of the pen,
is he
right?
Out of the pen. Tonight?
No, he's not pitching tonight. And Darvish, if the Japanese team wins, Darvish will start, and Ohtani is a possible out of the pen, which would be amazing.
How often do they play it?
Every 3 years.
Okay, so 3 years ago, the U.S. won it.
3 years ago, it was pandemic. They didn't play it.
Yeah.
So 6 years ago,
they
played
it. So 6 years ago is the last time they played it, and the Americans won.
I went to the final 1 year.
In San Diego?
No, the one – wasn't there one at Dodger Stadium, or was it a prelim at Dodger Stadium?
I don't remember.
I think 6 years ago was here.
I was at a Japan-South Korea game, and I swear that was the final, and the environment was – crazy. The environment in Miami was fantastic.
It's just drums and banners and everybody going crazy. It's been a terrific, terrific tournament. And high-level baseball for March, which is super unusual. Gonzaga and the Bruins, John. I know you got the Zags in your bracket. Yeah. You are a Bruin. How does that shake out?
I think UCLA's got a really good chance. They're playing great. It looks like Singleton's going to get over this ankle.
Who guards Drew Timmy?
Nobody.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Bergman, Dave, anybody guard Drew Timmy?
Adem Bona, Kenneth Nuba.
Okay, there you go.
Mac Etienne.
Yeah. You got to throw in some fake names to see if he bites. Like, just throw
John Cocktoaston.
John Levinstein.
John Babar. Yeah, Austin Rives.
He's just like, yep. Just throw it on.
I'm in there. Yeah,
John
I'm in there.
John Cocktoaston is perfect.
Ted Underhill.
Put it on the Underhill's bill. He left for his urinalysis.
John, was yesterday the strongest of the weed situation that we've had at Crypto?
Well, did you see what happened? They actually brought security supervisors in to try and
up an undercover
was it smoke?
Dude.
Smoke the guy out.
Was it smoke or was it vape?
They found him.
Why can't they catch him?
I don't know. It's been going on for 3 years.
It's hard to catch somebody if they're on a vape.
The other announcers. So
there's no smoke.
No smoke.
Dave Johnson, the guy in D.C., comes to me and he goes, how do you not have a contact high every game? This is ridiculous.
It's that bad.
Oh, yeah. It just and where Slee and I sit, it's like we're in a direct pathway of the weed guy, wherever he is.
He's a ninja.
Is he in front of you?
You're actually encouraging him to come to a game.
I used to think they were in the suites behind us, but now I think they're in front of us. And that's where all the security guys were looking.
It's hard to bust somebody with a vape.
But even a vape makes you have that cloud of smoke.
You can vape. You can get away. It's not smoke.
Mace,
it's vape.
It dissipates quickly, but it is there.
Yeah.
Can you account for your whereabouts?
I was in section 111. Where were you?
By the way, there's the guy that I mentioned this to Trav. This guy's a ninja. You can't find him. And you have all these security guards to our left that's looking. They're all looking in one section.
That's awesome.
And as the game is going, the guy's not sitting there for 4 or 5 minutes looking. Yeah. He's sitting there for, it seemed like, at least two quarters just trying to pick out. And he's like pointing this, that, nothing. Can't get anybody. And we're still smelling all the weed
while
it's happening.
They can't find this dude.
He's stealth.
Yeah, they're like trying to catch Jesse James or something. They can't figure it out.
It is pretty great. Does he move around or is he always in the same section?
We have no idea. We don't know who it is.
Mace?
Maybe we can get it.
Where were you yesterday afternoon?
What if it is a red coat? What if it's an inside job?
Maybe inside job. We get the guy to call the show,
And, under an anonymous name.
And he can use whatever name he wants. And it's kind of a game of advanced cat and mouse here.
Yeah.
How many MVP votes does Austin Reeves get now? He was amazing last night.
He was
great. Last night he was great. Chanting MVP.
Yeah, they don't win that game without him.
Nope.
No.
And the fact that they almost lost to Orlando
is scary.
Means, yeah, they're not playing at the level they were 2 weeks ago, and these next 10 games it's a coin flip.
I was
they make
so
it or
proud
not.
Of you, John. We were dropping my brother off at the airport in the airport. What a blank show that thing is on a Sunday night.
Did you go all the way in?
Oh, yeah. Oh. Yeah. So we're listening to the game, and I love the fact that you finally come around to must win, even though mathematically last night was not a must win.
Well,
it is a must win.
Some of these games that the Lakers have lost, like, and I'm thinking about the
going
to
haunt them. I heard your
game.
I heard your Anthony Davis interview afterwards, and Houston he referenced game. The yeah. Philly game, yeah. the Boston game where they should have had Boston games.
They are operating on the razor's edge right now, like Phoenix Wednesday. Who wins that game?
Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, I've
coin flip.
We were talking
I'd
about
Friday they, OKC. Last time OKC was here,
thing.
They beat us.
Same yep. thing. If you told me the Lakers win both those games by six, sure. You
two
told
games,
me they lose both of them by six.
Two games against
sure.
Chicago after that. Chicago's rolling people now. I mean, I have no idea if they're going to make it.
They brought the randomness right into it, right? Now, all of a sudden, one bad quarter, one bad night, one bad game, and it's the difference between being in or out.
There was a minute there where I thought Orlando was going to win last night.
Tied with yeah. what? A minute left, somewhere on those lines. After these next three home games, five in a row on the road.
Yeah, something so, like seven
well,
of the last ten
one's
are on the road.
Well, the Clippers, yeah.
One's Clippers. Yeah.
7 of 10 to end the season are road games, right?
Other way around. 6 of the 10 are at Crypto.
But
four
five,
on
but
the
five
road.
And five as far as like home and away. I guess the
yeah,
Crypto
the
one doesn't matter all
yeah,
that
Yeah, the
much.
Clipper game, if you're going to count the Clippers as a road game, it's 5 and 5.
It's going
to
come
not,
right down to
6 and 4.
Yep. It's going to come right down to that very last time. Super Crosstalk, powered by In-N-Out Burger.
Congrats on your trophy.
Thank you. Well earned.
Let
That's what a hamburger
is. Throw it up against another wall.
Get your hands off mine. Not happening. Mason and Ireland coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow.